Chapter 52. Now Vespasianus always kept close to his laboring soldiers, for he was anxious at the sight of the city falling in ruins upon his army. Forgetful of his own safety, he gradually and subconsciously advanced to the highest quarters of the city. Here, he found himself left in the midst of danger, with but a few followers. For even his son, Titos, was not with him on this occasion, having been sent off at that time into Syria to Mucianos. Therefore, he indeed thought it was neither safe nor proper to turn back. But mindful of the hardships which he had borne from his youth and his innate excellence, he, like one inspired, linked his comrades together, with shields enveloping both bodies and full suits of armor, but bore up against the attacks of his foes which streamed upon him from above. And so, undaunted by the multitude, either of men or projectiles, he stood his ground, until his foes, impressed by his demonic soul, relaxed their ardor. Now being less hard-pressed, he retreated step by step, without turning his back, until he was outside the walls. Therefore, indeed, in this battle, multitudes of Romans fell, including the decurion Ibutius, a man who had shown utmost nobility and inflicted the severest losses on the Judeans, not only in this battle in which he fell, but on all previous occasions. Now there was a centurion named Gallus. When he, along with 10 of his men, now he, like them, was a Syrian, were cut off in the fray, they indeed crept into a private house, where he overheard the inmates taking counsel over supper, concerning the populace's plans of attack on the Romans and of self-defense. So during the night, he arose and fell upon them and slaughtered them all, and, along with his men, made his way safely back to the Roman encampment. But Vespasianus' army was despondent. This was due to their ignorance of reverses, and because they had never before met with such a disaster. Yet truly, in addition to these things, they were even more ashamed of themselves, since they had left their general to face the dangers alone. Indeed, observing these things, he proceeded to console them. Lest he give the appearance that he was casting the slightest reflection upon them, he refrained from any mention of himself. But he said,
"We ought to manfully bear misfortunes which are common to everyone. And this, by reflecting upon the nature of war, which never grants a victory without bloodshed, but also how fortune is expendable for anyone and returns to stand at hand." However, you have done away with tens of thousands of Judeans, but you yourselves have paid but a trifling contribution to the demon. Now, as it is a mark of vulgarity to be over-elated by success, so it is unmanly to be downcast in adversity. For the transition from one to the other is sudden. And the best soldier is the man who meets success with sobriety, so that he may still remain cheerful when contending with reverses. However, what has now happened is attributable neither to any effeminacy on our part, nor to the excellence of the Judeans. Instead, the sole cause of their superiority and of our failure was the difficulty of the terrain. In view of that, you might be blamed for your inordinate passion. For when our foes fled to higher ground, you should have restrained yourselves, and not, by pursuit, exposed yourselves to the dangers impending over your heads. But having mastered the lower city, you should have gradually lured the fugitives to a battle which was safe and on firm ground. But through your intemperate eagerness for the victory, you neglected your own safety. But thoughtlessness in war and mad passion are alien to us Romans, who owe all of our success to skill and discipline. Instead, these things are barbaric, and to what the Judeans primarily owe all their power. Moreover, we ought to return to our native excellence, and to be moved rather to fury than to despondency by this unworthy reverse. But the best consolation should be sought by each man in his own right hand. For by this means, you will both avenge those who have been utterly destroyed and requite those who have done away with them. But for my part, it shall be my endeavor, as I have done and shall do in every battle, both to go first before you to face our foes and to be the last to retire.
Therefore, by such words as these, Vespasianus indeed reanimated his armies.